Welcome, everyone. We will call the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee to order. We have on our agenda today, we are not going to take any action on House Bill 2238. We will have a public hearing on an amendment to House Bill 2543. And the House Bill 2546 is not ready yet because we're waiting for paperwork, so we will take no action on that. And then we'll have work sessions on the other two bills. So you've got all that memorized. Okay, we will start by opening a work session on House Bill 3261.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3261 would change the way in which the Department of Revenue issues warrants for the collection of taxes from taxpayers. The current law requires that they go directly to the sheriff and levy upon the property immediately upon issuing the warrant. This measure would allow the department to only bring the sheriff into the process when it's deemed necessary to actually levy on the property, and it requires the department to file with the county clerk that there's been a warrant ahead of time and to provide notice to the taxpayer that there is a warrant. So the notice would come from the department, and the sheriff would still be there if that was necessary.
Okay. We heard this bill a couple days ago. Senator Morris, do you have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3261A to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Senator Morris has moved House Bill 3261A to the Senate floor with a do-pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Please list Senator Telfer as excused. Okay, now we're going to open a work session on House Bill... What? Oh, Carrier. Yeah, we need Carrier. Senator Hass, would you like to carry this?
Sure.
Now we will open a work session on House Bill 2572.
House Bill 2572 would allow the other parties to a property tax appeal to seek a determination from the body or tribunal of the value of the entire account, as opposed to just a single component of the property tax account. This would prevent the strategic behavior on the part of a person appealing their tax assessment on the basis of one component being overvalued, and this would allow a revaluation as a whole on the part of the assessor or any party to the appeal. There is no expenditure impact on this measure, and the revenue impact is indeterminate, but it's thought that it would result in an increase in assessed values in many cases.
Okay, we heard this bill a couple days ago. Senator Morris, do you have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2572 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Senator Morris has moved House Bill 2572 to the Senate floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. I will carry this bill. Okay, now I want to open a public hearing on House Bill 2543 for the purposes of discussing an amendment.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the A5 amendment to House Bill 2543 would change the criteria by which new applicants to the program are sorted. Previously, the A version had a 5% cap on the new applicants that could come in each year, and it was based on the 5% anticipated growth in that the population. And so previously it would sort based on the amount of tax that the person had owed and pay those who had the lowest tax bills first and then continue progressively pay the ones with the higher tax bills until the 5% limit was reached, and the applicants with the largest tax burden would be left out of the program. This A5 amendment, what it does is actually calculates requires the Department of Revenue to calculate a ratio of the real market value that the applicant has to the county median real market value, and they're depending on how long the applicant has been in their home, the value could be anywhere from 100% to 200% of the county median real market value, and that's in Section 3.2 of the bill, also for participation requirements. But that number would have a second use here in determining who would be able to participate in the program, given that in the case that there are more applicants than the 5% cap would allow.
Okay, we have Multnomah County here. If you could come up and Department of Revenue help work us through here. Why don't you start, John?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. John Phillips of the Department of Revenue. We have had sufficient time to review the dash A5, and we believe we can accomplish it.
Okay. Multnomah County, go ahead.
I actually don't have anything to add to the testimony.
Can you put your name on the record? Because I have a couple of questions.
Yes. Sorry, Madam Chair. Jed Tompkins, Assistant Multnomah County Attorney.
Great. Thank you for coming. Tell me exactly how this new procedure would work and how and why it's necessary.
Okay. Yes. the cap is based on in the A engrossed. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah. We have before.
In the bill is based on the amount of tax due or the amount of taxes imposed, and that creates a disparity between counties with very low taxes as compared to counties with very high taxes. People who live in counties with generally higher taxes will be less likely to make it under the cap than others. So we were proposing a change that would normalize the cap across all the counties in Oregon. And what we are suggesting and what's in the A5 is just to use the same parameters that are used earlier in the bill to determine which applicants qualify for the program. And it's basically crunching a few criteria, which are real market value, county median value, and time in the homestead. Those are parameters that are used earlier in the bill to determine who gets in the first place, and this would just use those same parameters to establish the 5% cap cutoff point.
So somebody who'd been in their home longer would have a better chance of getting under the cap, regardless of
as an example, if you had two applicants with similar real market value and similar county median incomes, but one had been in the home a lot longer, that person would be higher up on the priority list.
Okay, so this is a priority list based on other criteria than just the amount of taxes paid.
That's
okay,
correct.
So there was some description about going up to 200% of the median income. That I didn't understand. Christine, maybe you can elaborate on that.
Sure, Madam Chair. The range could be from 100% to 200% of the county median real market value, and that would be the taxpayers eligible for that amount. The 200% would have been in their homes for the longest. There's a range of time that for which the people have been in their homes, and that would. I believe that it's actually, I want to say 25 years or greater, and they're eligible to have up to 200% of the county median real market value on their home to participate, and also to have that be part of their ratio, so they're more likely to be in the home.
Okay, so basically this gets away from how much taxes they pay altogether, and it goes to a median income metric instead.
That is correct.
Okay. And then to the extent that you can, the whole purpose of this amendment is to, is to put more fairness into the system, in your view.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, John Phillips again. Yes, and when the cap was placed in on the House side, there was a discussion about what, you know, what was that the fair way to do it? Could anybody think of a different way? And at that time, and the answer was no. And so I think possibly between the 4th of May when this passed the House committee until now, there have been folks looking at it more closely, and this was offered.
And you think that this does indeed move toward greater fairness?
Madam Chair, yes. It takes it away from a tax, which may become more of an arbitrary number, than moves it to something that the committee felt was a little more fair in the first place to create as a sideboard. And now that sideboard is being replicated and put into the new applicant cap also. So it's a proxy for that.
Okay. And so, and of course, none of this will even be relevant if the applicants stay within the cap.
Madam Chair, yeah, none of it will be relevant for this upcoming year because this is the year that establishes the base. And then for 2012, you're absolutely correct. If the number of new applicants fall below the 105%, then it will not be affected.
Okay, thank you. Are there questions from the committee? Thank you very much. I'm going to hold on to this just so we have a chance to look at it thoroughly before we pass this through the committee, but I want to commend the folks who worked on this for coming up with a pretty workable, fair alternative to this. So if there are no other questions, we will close the work session on House Bill 2543, and that completes our agenda for the day, and so we are adjourned. We are adjourned.